VentureCast.
Mandy's hilarious. And I did her podcast because she reached out to me and she goes, I've never had like a gamer on my podcast. I'm like, that's because we don't leave the house, but I will for you. And we just bonded immediately. And I think she reached out to me and was like, would you want to start a podcast with me? Because I think you and I have a really good dynamic. And
you did that first episode with your honors.
Yeah.
You could tell it. You were like, boom. Are you guys best friends forever?
Well, she's very sweet. Like, she's very easy to talk to, which is so funny because I only knew Mandy from her comedy, and her comedy is really raunchy.
Yeah,
and then you meet her, and I'm like, you are like the sweetest, most vanilla person I've ever met in my life. Like, she's like, I pissed on my boyfriend's bed. Ha ha ha. And I meet her, and she's like, hi, I'm Mandy. And I'm like, why are you? I brought the wrong attitude today. I got like, so funny.
She's awesome.
My comedy is relatively clean, but I'm the gross one. She's gross comedy, but a clean person. It's very funny, but she's wonderful.
Your comedy is not necessarily. Oh, I heard you talking about Bukkake on stage.
That's art. That's just art. That's just beautiful art.
That's just pretty art. I will say my comedy used to be a lot cleaner, and it got dirtier over time because my parents stopped coming to my comedy shows. But my mom did come to that show of that clip that I posted, and she texts me, what is Bukkake?
Welcome, fellow lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Let's get some Barb got us that. And an estate thing. She brought it to the wedding. Oh, nice. She's the best. Anything old Playboy she finds at any of those, she takes. Leah's like, you're never going to stop getting that stuff.
Nice. I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, good. Nice. Thank you.
Oh, cartoons.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, book full of the cartoons. Thanks, Barb. Hopefully she watches. She's the best. So I want to start tonight. Well, I want to start with a couple of things. I have some important. I have one important thing to say.
We're going to thank Barb.
Thank you, Barb, for all the Playboy stuff. You're the best. We are not a Funko Pop podcast. We don't typically talk about Funko Pops. Honestly, people who collect them are giant dorks.
Hell yeah.
I don't collect
them. Why'd you bring them all over?
I don't collect them. But I want to start with a little something real.
Oh boy, we're getting deep. We're getting real.
We're going to get deep. Okay. I want to put it down in video format. These things kind of keep cutting out on me a little bit. In video format, I want to say thank you to you.
Oh,
for helping me get married again and for doing it so perfectly imperfect because
elegant.
Some people would have been upset with the way things went, but we loved it. And it went exactly like we would have wanted it to go. And you did a wonderful job. And I thank you and I love you. So,
well,
that shit.
Yep. And it's my pleasure. And yes, you're right. No, not everybody would appreciate my style.
So, ladies,
or lack of, but I am available.
I'm off the market. It's official.
That's true.
I am. So if you're a lady who's only watching this because you crush on me.
Somebody just eat his ego to say yes. Just say yes. Somebody, even a guy. I don't care. Anybody.
Oh, a guy would be even better.
Anybody. Just.
It's always cool to get hit on by the gay guys.
I don't care. Anything's a compliment.
Oh, I find that more complimentary than getting hit on.
More. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Gay guys. Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter. Well, it was my pleasure. I had a fun doing it. it was fun leading up to it. It was
honestly the only wedding I've ever been to where the bride walked down the aisle first. So, or where the guy doing the, because you are our aficionado, our officiant, our orator of lovey words.
Ordained. I'm a clergy.
I've also never seen one where that guy wants to take center stage and makes us wait for him.
I don't know that I did it intentionally, but
to start talking before you allowed us to come down the aisle. You're like, I'm like, dude, I think we're supposed to be up there.
You were supposed to be up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's normal. It. And it didn't click with me when we started, and hence why my whatever you want to call it, the go through didn't mention you because you're supposed to be up
there. I'm already there. I'm already there. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden it threw me. I'm like, wait, let's get up here.
Leah's standing up there by herself.
Like, wait, what is she doing up here? You're back there. And I get it. You wanted to walk down with Grace. And...
Yeah.
So we.
I did walk down.
And yeah. You did. So it worked out that way. But yeah, I guess I would have presented to you. But anyways.
It was perfect. Everything was great. Even though you called my new wife. Oh. The wrong name twice.
No, just once.
No, you called her Lori once, and you called her Laura once.
I only remember once.
Yeah. Lori and Laura. So, no Lisa, so I don't have to. It wasn't our guest tonight.
No, but the only reason it worked, and I apologize, Leah, is it's not like I called you an ex-girlfriend.
Ooh.
Right? You never dated either one of them. That I'm a... It was literally the L just fucked me up.
I don't even think I had a one nighter with a Laura or a Lori.
It isn't.
I don't think I've ever.
This is deep talk. We're gonna open the tavern right away to open talk into that
tavern and welcome on back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples in the Beard.
Oh,
back to a fucking girl edition.
Had I called you an ex, I would have just walked out. I'd have just like walked out.
Only one in particular. I think you would have been fine with. Yeah,
but it was just the L just screw me up, and she knows why it messed up in my brain
because you were high. Really, really high.
My defense,
you were high.
I was getting in the hippie theme for the whole thing, and I went overboard.
I want you to understand, nobody ever said anything about a hippie theme for the wedding.
No, that was in my head. We just wanted to do hippie.
Yeah, that's great. But there was nowhere anywhere that said hippie theme.
No, but I guess I in my head it was a hippie theme.
Yeah.
Were you in the happy hippie?
Well, neither one of us are technically hippies.
No, but you married as close to a hippie as you can, as wonderful as a person. With the hippie blend.
She's got hippie energy.
Yes. So
I always call her a pippy.
Pippy.
She's a poser. Oh, okay. A poser hippie.
No.
She only, you know, she doesn't follow all the hippie law.
She doesn't, but she's like, again, I think she's
she looks great in hippie clothes though.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it worked, and it that's, and we wanted to embrace that. Me and my daughters wanted to embrace the hippie theme with you two and just bring in your day because it was wonderful. And thanks for having on. And so the three of us got really, really high before we came down there.
And I did see.
If you watch a podcast, I don't get high a lot, so I did. And I'm, by the time this comes out, you can test me because I'll be clean.
I don't get high a lot, he says.
Not mine.
Okay. I don't get high a lot. I don't get high a lot.
This is our studio in Michigan.
Oh, fuck off, government. Come fuck with us.
So I did.
I don't think we can write off the cost of weed on that. That's probably against the law.
But I did buy it in Michigan. So I did go buy weed for your wedding present.
Yeah, I don't think the wedding present has anything to do. Well, now we talked about it, so.
Right.
Cha-ching.
So.
Business write-off.
Since I'm up there, I wanted to give them for the wedding gift, along with some other things. And so I just bought a bunch. Didn't know what I was buying because I'm assuming.
Oh, I think you did okay. I think you did real good.
So where are you going to hang your blanket? Living room?
Oh my God, my kid almost picked up. Like, no. you can hear things, but you can't see that blanket.
Oh, I loved it because I went, I'm going to get it for him. What you do with it? It's up to you. Obviously, it's going to be in a shelf somewhere in a drawer somewhere.
I don't know where it'll go. Obviously we can't just hang it.
Nope,
we'll figure something
out. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, and it's pretty
custom.
Good
it was custom made with their likeness.
It's pretty good representation.
I'll have to show
too.
It
I'll show it on here.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think it's funny. It's awesome.
Sure. Oh, I got a I got to remember, I got the our signed Icarus Bell album cover too. I need to.
Nice.
I got to bring, throw it up here. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, we get into it and we're moving on. And yeah, it's the after wedding podcast. But continue with your friends. Give it a like, subscribe, share with everybody, and leave a comment about how
we don't leave pretty lady, lady.
That the beard's off the bucket. But there's just more of me for all of you ladies.
It's true.
So if I need to put on a beard just to fulfill your fantasies, just let me know. I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with that.
That's good of you.
Yeah. I'm here to I'm here for you.
Thanks for helping satisfy my side of the
market. So I'm here. I gotta do both. So here we go. We better not keep a pretty lady waiting.
So without further ado, Lisa Wallen.
Shut there up. We go.
Now you can. You can bust on us for being boomers who use outdated technology. And we know.
No, you can watch my two cats make out behind me. So
look at that. Some frisky times going on.
This is the first time with animal porn. Wow, okay.
We're going to get hit for bestiality on YouTube. This is good.
They do this anytime I'm like anytime I'm on stream. I'm like, "Guys, please can you wait?
There's a camera."
I'm literally live. Like, come on. Come on, guys.
So thank you for taking an hour away from streaming tonight and joining us, Lisa Wallen.
Yes.
I don't know if you know why these are here.
For your love.
For my terrifying love of Funko Pops.
Wait, did I get that wrong? I thought you loved them.
Yes, they're them and their blackened, dark eyes that stare right into my soul. They're amazing.
If you need us to remove them, we certainly can.
We can turn them down. We don't.
It's okay. It's okay. It's already been a pretty unhinged day. I think I can handle a little bit of Funko Pop. At least you have like 8. Like there's some people who have like 100 and they're like, "What do you mean this is terrifying?" I'm like,
"Do you want me to go get the rest of them?"
If you own 100 of anything, it's terrifying. Like it's not just Funko Pops.
All right. I need you and Mandy to get this guy on your Weirdly Obsessed podcast because he is weirdly obsessed about a lot of things. I'm looking at 3,000 plus DVDs.
4,100
DVDs. I'm looking at like 300 to 400 album covers on the wall going down his stairs.
And a whole line of other Pop Funkos that are along the wall there.
You know what, though? Physical media is dying, so I applaud you for having DVDs still, okay? Because I still have all my old CDs, and I have a lot of my DVDs and Blu-rays, and I have all my video games, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to Google where I can watch something where if I already own it. You know what I mean? Like, so
I'm with
cheers
you.
To you.
Thank you.
But if
thank
those
you.
40, if those 2,100 DVDs turn into Funko Pops, then I would probably block you.
Then I am not going to tell you at one point I own like 300, but I have sold them all. So
honestly, I'm not one to talk. I have so many figurines back here. It's unbelievable.
I was going to say, for a woman who is tattooed with nothing but anime.
I have no judgment on people's cringe. I am quite the cringe myself.
So we are
I can't get wait to get into that.
Yeah. So we're joined by Lisa Wallen, comedian, Twitch streamer, podcaster. So
all sorts of things.
Thank you so
showered.
Much.
Freshly showered.
You're going through a bit of an unemployed stage, so showering is not necessarily first
you
on
know?
The list.
I was like, do I have to leave the house today? No, it's fine.
So we really do thank you for taking a night off of your income stream. You know, like Twitch streaming, obviously.
I know, and now I feel like I should get a drink.
You should.
We can pause. I should
go grab. I'm gonna grab a beer. I'll be
all right. Sounds good.
Nice.
Continue to watch my cats. Oh, now they're fighting.
Oh, little frisky critters. Well, now they're gonna follow.
She's got look at the fancy chair, man. That's a gamer.
That's
chair.
A gamer chair.
I know.
That's a gamer chair, and I some of the chairs are cool.
I never, other than
not for gaming, but. Just to have.
Other than Madden, I never did a lot of gaming. I love to play just Madden football, but.
Well, I was going to say to her, I challenge her to a Tecmo Bowl because that's all I ever played was Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl.
I don't even remember the system.
Saga.
I've been on this huge. Oops, sorry.
Maybe she. I don't even know.
She'll know.
Nope. I'm not even gonna repeat myself. No, I went to Trader Joe's and I started buying singles.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just to try different things.
What do you have?
I have a Smog City Brewing Pilsner with style. I don't know what they mean by style.
I don't think I know either.
I have no idea.
I don't have any style, so this will give me style. I'll up my style points, I guess.
Maybe there's a little sweat of Harry Styles in there.
Oh.
Just Harry Styles. This is beer. There you go. It's a little hint of sparkle and bad pop music. Perfect.
Wow.
Careful. You're going to, our Harry Styles crowd will leave us.
Harry, if you want to come on, we don't disagree with her. If you're not, fuck off.
Harry, I love you. Give me money.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the cat's on out. Okay.
Again, it's an amazing chair. We love it.
All right. Oh, yeah. It was from my old job. I'm never giving it back.
Oh, you okay.
We won't tell.
All right. I'm done getting up, though. So we're good now. We're good. We got all the things.
We like chaos.
So is that... But that's a heck of a gamer chair, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing about gaming. When you work in these content companies, they start out where they have like some giant investment company or some trust fund kids like, I'm going to put in hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in this company and create content. And so we get all these sponsors and we get free shit like this $700 gamer chair, and then the company goes to shit. But I got the chair, so
that's worth it, right? You
know, there wasn't a total loss,
right? I know, that's what we need.
Now
that.
I can sit comfortably and be unemployed. It's pretty nice.
Okay, so what is the criteria of an awesome gaming chair? The padding under the butt, the shoulders?
Honestly, this is all just sorry, Secret Lab, you don't sponsor me anymore, so I'm gonna be real. This is all just for aesthetic. Yeah. I had a cheap like it was like a Walmart chair before this, and that thing was wildly more comfortable. This thing feels like a throne, like a very sweaty throne. That's what it is. But it does have like a nice pillow that never stays here, and it is magnetic. Oh. I looked up these chairs online and they're like $700. And I was like,
that's insane.
I'll keep free it. For me.
Now, how long of a gaming session? Because, I mean, is there like just inches and inches of padding under your ass?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay.
They're definitely meant for people way bigger than me.
How long will you sit and game for without taking a break?
Or standing up and play?
I have to have my chat remind me to take a break. They'll be like, Lisa, it's been 2 hours. Do you have to pee yet? And I'm like, oh, I do. Thank you for reminding me.
Those are nice people right there.
Because they're watching me and they're like, this girl hasn't moved. Yeah, I get really into whatever it is that I'm doing. But usually, I mean, these chairs, I don't get sore too much. But okay. I do have a habit of leaning over a lot and going like this. So
yeah.
I need to learn to be more upright and attractive when I'm gaming and not so much like a gremlin. So
did you ever think, or anybody ever think, that you would get paid to people to have watch people you watch play them. Games, not play against you, but just to watch you play them?
Nope. The concept was completely foreign to me when I started streaming, because I started streaming during the pandemic because I couldn't do stand-up comedy, and I was like, well, what else am I gonna do with my life,
right?
You know. Do this or I get really depressed, so I'll just be depressed on stream. And I didn't really understand it at first, because it is sort of like a generational thing, because I think like younger Gen Zers are more into it than, like, I started when I was like 31, which I felt like was too old.
Wait, you started streaming when you're 31, but games have been around
and I
forever.
Was like, most streamers are like 25 years old. But then I realized, like, I would play games that came out like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and people are big fans of those games and they just want to see new content. So that's like, here's a girl who's never played like Metal Gear Solid, and they're like, I played that game 20 years ago, I want to watch her play it. So I can understand that. But what I don't get is like the people who watch multiple streamers. I'm like, how do you have the money for that? Like, you're just spending money on watching multiple people. I'm like, I can watch like one maybe once a week, but that's also because I stream. But it is right. It is cool because you get like a community. Like, it's not like stand up where it's like people are fans of your jokes. It's like these people just love what you do, whatever you do, and I like that.
So do you feel your people that watch you come for you or the game you're playing at the time? And do you announce it ahead of time, or I don't know how that goes?
Me normally, but like if I'm playing a game, like right now the big game's like Helldivers. I just downloaded it and I'm gonna play it probably tomorrow. I'll get a bunch of new viewers in, and then I'll be like, you should also, I also do stand up. I also do this. And they're like, sure. Oh, that's cool. I don't care. But but sometimes a very small percentage of those people do care. And then they come to my other stuff and I'm like, oh, okay. See, it all works out. The weird thing is when the comedy people come to my streams, because they go on my streams, they go, tell me a joke. Oh. Like, you're watching me play video games for a living. That is the joke. Okay.
100%.
You have tuned in for the joke.
This is, I am the joke. There you go. My life is the joke. Congrats.
So
give me money, I'll tell you a joke. That's what I say. And then they never go. Do. So I'm like, all pay right, the well, there's goes bought. There goes my chance.
Yeah. Jokes for tips.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I don't, another, I'm going to ask a question because I don't know it. I don't
know. No, ask away. That's why I'm here.
So when you get a new game, do you right from the start? Cause I know when I start a new game, you're like play, die, play, start over, play, die. Do you go from the start or do you wait till you're good at it to stream?
No. I start from the beginning.
Okay.
I want them to see me die a lot and I do die a lot. So yeah. It makes good entertainment.
So if I connect to you, I'm watching you, and the game will be next to you, right? As your character is going running along,
and dying,
and well, okay, dying.
Let's not forget the death part.
What is the big draw to learn? Like, people are watching you to learn how to play the game, like themselves.
Sometimes, yeah. So sometimes people watch because, like, I play harder games sometimes, like the Dark Souls ones. Just sure. Because I want to feel cool.
And oh, so that's like, a, oh, that's a hard one. This.
People come to my stream and be like, I got stuck on this boss and I want to watch you do it. And then I'm like, I'm stuck on this boss. So I don't know what to tell you. But then eventually I'll win and then people will watch that. And also people just want to see other people suffer. I've realized that. Like, people are entertained by suffering and they're like, this girl is doing terrible. She's been spending 2 hours on this boss. And then when I win, it's like a big deal. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But then there's other people, like, there's a game that I played that I really loved called Yakuza 0. It's one of my favorite games of all time. And then when my friends who stream started playing it, I would go watch them play it. Because I was like, I want to see you react to this scene. I want to see you get to this part. Mm. So it's cute. It's adorable, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Games aren't what they used to be. You're kind of playing your way through a movie with most of these games.
Oh, so, gosh, yeah.
So there's entertainment to be watched.
These games have like 2 hour cutscenes, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Just sit here silently for 2 hours, which I do.
2 hours?
So, yeah. And then I'll just be like, okay, well, while this is going, you guys want to talk about anything?
Holy shit.
Can you... my cats on my tower doing cat shit. So
can you fast forward?
I did not know that.
Yeah, but God forbid I skip a cutscene. People lose their fucking minds if you don't pay attention. So, you know. I don't want to be burned at the stake, so I just let it play, and then I pretend I'm paying attention. And then people try to quiz me. I'm like, you just watch me not pay attention to it. Why are we quizzing me? You know I won't know the answer.
And
call them out. Perfect.
It also begs the question, what percentage of the audience is just straight perverted guys that are just watching because you're hot?
I would say, honestly, it used to be higher.
Yeah.
It might be higher now. I don't know. But it used to be worse during the pandemic because everyone was bored in their house and alone and horny. So they were like, ooh, what's this girl doing? Oh, you want me to come over and help you? I could just smell them through the computer. It's not as bad now. I think it's because most of my audience is a little older. Like, sure. They're all around, like, they're not like 19-year-old just being like, you're so hot for a 35-year-old. I'm like, hold it, buddy. Okay.
Wait, I want you to know that there's still plenty of perverts at 50.
Well, right. Well, also, when they come in my stream and they try to troll me and ask me really creepy questions, I just go along with it. I'm like, you can't outgross me. You can't outcreep me. I am the ultimate creeper. Okay.
Nice.
That's the cool thing about being a comedian. Off. You got mm-hmm. you got that skill set to talk back.
That's true.
I've scared people off. I've turned them into memes. I've had people try to come my stream and say gross things just for me to outgross them. And they're like, never mind. I picked the wrong battle. Wrong person to battle.
Fuck it, I'm out.
Buddy, I went through shit, okay?
Score.
Some little comments, but also it's flattering. I love it when an 18-year-old comes in, they're like, you're so hot. I'm like, oh, thank you. I could be your mom.
Well, it sounds like you were too nerdy playing video games probably to be their mom. I mean, you would have been pregnant at 16.
That's why the skin's still glowing. It's like, oh my God, you look so young for your age. I'm like, I haven't seen the sunlight until I was 33.
Can you block on Twitch?
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing about Twitch is you never know who's watching you. So you can block someone, though. They can just come back in a different name.
Sure.
Some of the names, make sense. Like, there's a guy who comes on my stream named OBGYN Kenobi, which is such a great name.
That's awesome.
The names really get to me. I had a guy come on who says, his name is just Crushed My Nuts 42069. I'm like, you didn't even try. At least be clever with your names. If you're going to come in and be an asshole, give me some entertainment, you know?
he covered every base with that one.
He was like, what is every single... Yeah, I was like, you're clearly under the age of 30. No 30-year-old... Every 30-year-old is making a clever name,
You think that guy would be like 12?
Crush my nuts for 2069?
I've had guys come into my stream and ask for advice on homework, but try to pretend it was like a normal question. Like, you come in and be like, does anyone here know good division? anyone here know physics? It's like, buddy, if you need help on your homework, just ask the question. You don't have to start a conversation. I'm not your teacher.
Can teach me the fundamentals of long division.
So before we go too much further, how do we see you on Twitch? It's not your name, correct?
Yeah, my name's Lisa Wallen, but it's Weesa Wallen on everything because some bitch named Lisa Wallen just took my name.
Yeah.
Okay. I think she's like a real estate agent. I was like, you're boring. I'm fun. But now it's become like a whole identity. Now I'm just Weesa Wallen, but really it's Weasel Allen because one time I went to someone's stream and I commented and they pronounced it Weasel Allen. And now everyone on my stream calls me Weasel. Now I'm just a weasel.
I like
which
it.
Makes you sound like I'm part of a gang and a snitch. And I was like, cool, I'll just be a weasel now.
Or just a big fan of Pauly Shore.
Or the next coming of Pauly Shore is what I was thinking. Yeah.
Which Pauly Shore should be a fan of me, but yes.
That's true. He should, for keeping the name alive. Because I don't think he goes by it anymore. So
he still will bust it out on occasion. Yeah. Yeah, he's still goofy like that.
I've seen him at the Comedy Store. He's not looking like a weasel these days, you know?
What is he looking like?
He looks like a man who's been terrible at comedy for 30 years. I shouldn't say that. I'm sure he's nice, but anytime I see it, I feel like that's just a weird trend of people who acted in the 80s and 90s that became stand-up comedians. Like, none of their comedy is good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, but there's definitely that group.
Buy tickets because it's that person.
Yeah,
and it's like, who is still the diehard Pauly Shore fans? Like, I saw Encino Man; it was great, but I watched it for Brendan Fraser. I didn't watch it for, and he's not doing stand up. Thank God.
No,
you know, yeah. No. But there's just a weird trend I've noticed living in LA now of they'd be like, "Oh, did you see this professional skateboarder from the '90s is doing stand up now?" I'm like, "Yeah," and it's terrible.
I would imagine there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are a lot. I see Jody Sweetin from Full House is doing stand up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Get out of here.
Did not know that.
I mean,
it's just the easiest way for a crazy person to talk to a mic. I think it, except for podcasting, of course.
Right. This is even easier. And we proved it.
Yeah, that's okay. I do have a story about Pauly Shore. He was in.
You guys are best friends. Damn it.
We're not.
Best of friends.
I've never met him, but he was at a Comedy Store in Appleton, Wisconsin, where we're from, Wisconsin.
Skyline
Company Club. Shout out. And we used to know the owner. And so I have a friend and their friends went and saw him. And she said, hey, Pauly, I want to lose my virginity. So Pauly took her up to the office and said, my fame to claim now is to say Pauly Shore took my virginity for the rest of my life.
See, I don't agree with that. Those chuckle fuck, we have a term for that. They're called chuckle fuckers.
Yep.
And they are making the patriarchy win. Like, you gotta stop, ladies. I didn't notice they existed until I lived here. In Seattle, there was no such thing because all the comedians were like weird hipsters and,
see, and
no
she,
one wanted to fuck them.
This was, oh my gosh, this was 15...
This probably happened 2 weeks ago, by the way.
Well, in LA, This was over 20 years ago.
In LA, I went to the comic. I go to the comic store sometimes, and all I see like a group of like really beautiful women, and I'm like, "Who are these girls? They're so cute." And like, "Oh, that's like they're like chuckle fuckers." I'm like, "There's a gang of them. There's a gang of women that hang out at comic clubs just to fuck male comedians." I immediately want to throw up.
Now tell me that. Come on, there's like, gotta
where
be.
Where's the gang of dudes? Why
there's
right.
gotta be some male chuckle fuckers. There's gotta be some male chuckle fuckers.
Would we give them a different name?
But they're not tens like these girls are. Ali Wong has a great bit about it, where she says like male comedians are always hooking up with like models and actresses and the most beautiful women in the world. And she goes, one of my closest comedians is a woman, and she's super famous. And do you know who she's dating? A magician. Like, it's just, and he's not even a good one. I looked him up on Yelp, and he has like 2 stars. And I'm like, yep, that's. So anytime I like see a male comedian, I'm like, if you didn't have that mic in your hand, man,
just like a rock star.
So lucky.
Just like a rock star.
Also, she's back.
So. I see that. I don't know
Is this all video? Are you putting this on YouTube?
So oh, hell yeah. Because
I've seen your YouTube, and I was like, these are a lot of really hot women, and I wore a dad shirt. So thank you for that.
We've gone through a streak here, like 3 episodes in a row where the guest is a dude. And then we go, yeah, that doesn't work. Our clientele.
Our clientele is like, you know what?
We've painted ourselves into a corner. So
this is the
it's a tough job.
This is a podcast that supports female comedians. So I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Hell yes. Yeah.
There you go.
We love all you female comedians. We've had Chase on and Mandy on and Sarah Hyland on. So
those are all wonderful women.
Yes.
They are, and they're hilarious. And more. And of course, my brain won't think of them all. But
also, if I get boring, at least we have a cat in the room. So I'm just kidding.
Now, is that on a cat bed, or is that near your figurines that you need to worry?
Nope, it's right here.
Okay.
I have a little camera on stream that just points to her.
Okay.
It's right here. And so you can see what my cats are doing at all times.
Perfect. Your cats are 24/7 live?
No, because they're not always in there, but she does like to go in the tower whenever I'm on here because they're little camera whores. So,
yeah, well, makes sense.
They take after their mommy, really.
Give the people what they want.
Right.
They want animals. They want live. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
You can advertise your Twitch stream, live pussy.
We have OnlyFans just for her feet, actually.
There's a crowd for it. People will pay for it.
Only pause.
Nice. I like it. They'll pay for it. Somebody will.
Somebody will.
When did you start playing video games? What was the first one that got you?
Oh my God. It's funny you asked that. I have a viral video that I posted a couple months ago. My mom, because I set up her old Nintendo for her. And she had like this really big, like genuine reaction because she hasn't played it in like 10 years. And she was like freaking out. And I posted it online because I grew up watching my parents play Nintendo. My dad was super into Zelda. Okay. My mom was super into Pac-Man. But when I posted the video, I got all these comments saying, oh, I love it seeing old people happy. I was like, hey, buddy, my mom is in her 60s. Okay. You guys are acting like she's 100. I love it when old people relive their childhood. Well, also, she was like 40 when that came out. So let's not call her a child. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Just say it's a cute video. You don't have to guess my mom's age. But no, my earliest memory is literally watching my dad play Zelda on the old Nintendo.
Yeah.
And so I started from like the minute I came out, I was already a gamer. So
nice.
And
so
now
forever.
It's paid off. Now I can just, everyone thinks I stream because I'm successful at it, but what they don't realize, I just stream because I have a huge addiction. So.
I don't know. Have you created yourself a little LLC as your video gaming? Can you write off all your video games yet?
Even better, I can write off anything that's on a stream.
There you go. That's perfect.
Makeup, I write off makeup. I've written off cat food. I'm like, she's in my content. I'm writing off fuck the government. I'll write off everything if I have to. If they come and audit me, I'd be like, oh, I also forgot to write off this. Thank you for coming to my door. I forgot to do this too. No, if you post anything that's like content related, because streams, well, this is what stupid thing about Twitch is that you get a 50-50 payout, which is bullshit. I should be getting more than that. But on top of that, it's untaxed. And so really, you're only getting like maybe 30 to 40% of what you make. So yeah, I'm going to write off all my fucking makeup.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything you can.
And my Botox and my haircuts.
So let me ask you, we can write off Botox. I'm going to get Botox.
Well, let me ask you this, and you tell me as much as you want, because at one point you wanted to be talked about it. Can you write off your boobs?
I'm really sad that I didn't, now that you asked that. But I did get them done prior to streaming. I should have wrote them off as like, be like, this thing cured my depression. Can I, mean, can I write this off as a real therapy medical bill?
How do we know? How did they know? Well, yeah, I guess this it's
is,
on video.
This is it was, in the long run, it was cheaper than therapy. So I was like, you know, this is my therapy. No, yeah, I have written off many things, though. Probably not things that I should be writing off, but I have.
Right. Well, and bless you, because
the government doesn't want.
We don't, but
we have our tax appointment on Wednesday night.
You didn't write off your boobs when you did this podcast?
No, well, I didn't. I mean, I did, because it's the boobs.
I also just realized you're wearing a Funko Pop t-shirt. I am so disappointed in you right now.
I told him, like, these are going to just hate me.
It's not even a, it's a Breaking Bad Funko Pop shirt. It makes Breaking Bad look like a children's cartoon. A kid's going to walk and be like, where's that from? But like, you should watch it. It's very wholesome.
It's good. It's a cartoon. Yeah. It'll be traumatized.
Nothing terrible happens in that at all.
It teaches them science. Come on.
It's science. They make candy. They sell the candy to other people. It's great.
Leave it to me, by the way, to lose my headphones when we're talking about boob. God damn it.
Yep.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I am very open about that. Like, I used to not be. I used to not talk about it. But I talk about it all the time on streams. And you can just tell. This is the wholesome thing about streams. Is like, I talk about how when I got my surgery, it like made me instantly happier, right? It made me happier. It gave me more confidence. Like, it did so much more than like change my physical self. But since my stream like loves me so much, they refuse to be perverted. So they'd be like, I'm really happy for you. Like, they won't say anything. Like, there's these some guys in my stream be like, can't we see them? But my stream will just be like, we're just happy that you're happy. I'm like, yes. You guys can tell me that's fine. You can say, like, if I look pretty, or if I post like a picture of myself that's like risque, they'll be like, you look really lovely. I'm like, you guys are fucking nerds.
Well, you came to the right guys to say they're great tits.
You guys are fucking nerds.
You're hot. Yeah.
I didn't get the surgery for telling me that I look nice. Yeah. What?
I look nice before.
Yeah, right.
I gotta look hot. I look
a hell of a lot nicer now, but thank you. Thank you for the respect, you assholes. Then a guy comes in the stream and says, can I show me your tits? I'm like, you fucking perv, get out of here.
There's a line. You gotta be in this, right, this right. Man.
We can talk about them. To a point. Yeah. Compliment you on them.
Go like my photos on Instagram and then maybe give me money to pay them back. There you go.
Well, if you wrote them off, you'd been, I'm just saying.
For real, right? And the government be like, what is this? I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Just put it on your makeup.
So
it
how did you
from, huh?
So how did that was your, were you in therapy prior? And how did you decide that's going to make me happy or?
Well, no,
as opposed to something else,
like
drugs.
It's actually it's actually like a sentimental story.
Okay, well, that's what I want to hear because it's lovely.
No, because you know, like I've always been kind of like tomboyish. I still kind of am.
Sure.
And I think in my late 20s, I went through like a huge depression stage because I just wasn't like dating. Like I had recently like lost my partner that I was with. So I wasn't dating. I wasn't taking care of myself. And I started going to a therapist about like grief and whatnot. And she didn't really help me at all. And I've always had diagnosed OCD. And so she recognized me to an OCD specialist. And one of the big things that we talked about was body dysmorphia. And I'm like, yeah. And so after that, I had a friend, her name's Michelle Martinez. She's wonderful. She was a comedian turned sex therapist.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, interesting. So I like started watching some of her videos and whatnot. And she was talking about how like you know, body dysmorphia affects every part of your life, affects your anxiety, affects your, like, your sex drive, your willingness to date and all the stuff. And it basically came down to, well, I really want to make a change in my body to make me feel more feminine. And so I did that, but it was kind of impulsive. Like, it wasn't something I planned. So, like, randomly, I, like, went over to my parents' house and I was like, Mom, can you drive me to a doctor's appointment next week? And she's like, for what? I was like, I'm getting boobs. Oh. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm getting boobs. She's like, when did you decide this? I don't know, like a month ago.
Like, yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. Are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And then I got them done.
And no regrets. Like, the
best decision ever.
And your mom was supportive and she's like, absolutely. Yeah.
She had to have been. She didn't have a choice. It's like, if you don't go, I will drive. And then I'll drive home high off of all the medication they gave me. No. And I think what's funny is that I kind of, because the recovery part sucks. Like, you have to wear, like,
yeah.
The recovery part sucks. You have to wear a bra. Ugh, so annoying. And you're basically, like, strapped into one for, like, 3 months. And then you can, like, finally let them free. I don't know the word. But it was during the pandemic, so I couldn't do anything. So it wasn't until about 2 years ago I was able to, like, actually show them off. And instantly, before I even posted them online, everyone could tell that I made a big change in my life. They're like, you're, like, dressing up more and, like, doing your makeup and, like, posting cuter photos of yourself. And then I posted my boobs and, like, oh, that's why. Jesus Christ. I was like, yep.
There it is.
You know, because and getting it done in my 30s was the best decision for me in my life. If I got it done, I think when I was like 18, 19, 20, like, my brain is not fully developed back then. I think I would have handled the situation way differently than now, because now it's done nothing but, like, given me, like, major confidence. And even now when I, like, feel gross, you know, I'm like, if I, like, I don't know, like, gain a little bit of weight, or if I, you know, get injured, or if my hair looks gross, I'm like, but the tits look great. So, you
like
know,
if I don't shower, I'd be like, but my tits still look great.
If I
don't
shower, if I lose a limb, it's fine because the boobs will look great.
They're,
you know,
they're a cheat code to life is what they are.
It really is. It really is like a last resort for happiness. It's like, you know, everything in my body could be destroyed, but this part, fantastic. You know?
Well, that's gonna live. I mean, in, you know, it will live through infancy.
Well, I'll be there.
And the surgery has gotten so much better now that you don't even have to. I will die with perky tits. Like, you don't have to get them done in 10 years. You don't have to get them reshaped. Like, everyone's
really?
Like, you have to go back. No,
they're there
these
for life.
These will last forever.
Okay. Well,
I'm gonna die. I'm gonna be a corpse with just the best boobs you've ever seen in your life. That's what's gonna happen.
Excellent. Yeah. Caved in face.
Skin, I have triggered bones. Some kinks in this video from saying that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get some comments on this one.
Yeah. Well, I think the best part of the whole thing is you didn't do it when you were younger, because I think you're like your mind, but you're 30 and you're like, I did everything I can to be positive about my body. And that I'm finally making a decision. You're a little more mature at 30 than 20. So
a little,
some more than others. I mean, I'm still not. And I still want to giggle when I talk about boobs, but that's a different story. But it's a great time. It was the right time.
I mean, that shirt tells me so much. So, yes.
She hates me.
Good. So do I.
No, and you're completely right. And I think, too, it's like, yeah, when you reach your 30s, you stop really giving a shit about what other people think as much.
Yeah.
Like I had kind of a bit about it on stage where it's like, it's very funny posting like half naked photos of yourself in your 30s because no one judges you. Like if you're like 19 doing it, people are like, what is she doing? She's got her whole life ahead of her. How is she? What? She needs to get a job. She needs to go to college. In your 30s, you're like, oh my God, you're so brave. holding on to your youth. You're so
God,
inspiring.
That's so true. It's so true.
Oh yeah, I post my tits online and everyone's like, grow up. I'm like, I'm 34 years old. I've grown up.
Where was that you post? I'm just sorry. Where did you post that? I'm just curious. Where did
literally half of my Instagram. Like I'm currently trying to find a job. I'm like, just do not look at my Instagram and everything's fine. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm not. You do have a nice Instagram for sure.
It is. I will say it's tough. I've realized now that I'm dating because like there, I mean, I'm sure you've been following comedians forever and now everyone has their shit out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like all my jokes are online, which to me are like so personal. Yeah. So I don't put like any of my like Instagram or social media apps on dating. because I know the minute they find him, they're going to see how unhinged I am. Like, before they even meet me, they'll be like, this girl's a fucking mess. But she's got great tattoos, so it's okay.
And boobs.
And boobs.
Anyway,
right. Tattoos and boobs are kind of the same thing. You feel sad one day, get a tattoo. You know,
I just got to say it.
Yes. Yeah.
Based on Instagram, a really nice ass, too. So high five.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because that's also out there. And I don't want to just leave that. I'm more of an ass guy than a boob guy. So just going to say.
That's what happens when you get your ass tattooed. It looks instantly better.
Mm.
I'm assuming I'm assuming you did the same thing.
Yeah, he's got his ass tattooed and it looks better.
Thinking about it.
But dude, you do have a sick sleeve though.
Thank you. Yes,
and like you're probably like me where you can't even tell you have them half the time.
No, you don't think about it anymore.
Points them out, and then you're like, "What are you talking about?" Oh, thank you.
We definitely have to talk tattoos because you have a lot of fabulous. I don't know what the majority of them are because I think they're all anime, but they're all beautiful. Your back is beautiful.
I wanted to talk about the back and your Instagram of showing your back because the planning of going into that with your sleeves, and I just yours was kind of more random.
Yeah, some of it.
Throw it on and up, but it seems like yours was planned out and you knew what you wanted to do on each arm and your back and it's all coordinated or am I wrong?
My back was yes, which is crazy too, because it's like it's kind of like the boob thing where it's like, I didn't like how my back looked. So I tattooed it and now I love how my back looks.
Oh, wow.
Same thing with my butt, same thing with my legs, same thing with my arms. I was just like, I'm bored of how I look and I want to change it. But like my back, I was like, my tattoo artist who did this whole sleeve, she was one of my best friends and we lived together. Mm. We were both moving. I moved to LA. She moved to Pennsylvania.
Oh,
so we're
shit.
Like never going to see each other basically. So we're like, we got to do like one big tattoo before I leave. And so she's like, what do you want to get done? I was like, I want to get my back done. And I guess did some shitty Photoshop of what I wanted. She executed it. Took 40 hours, I think. It was 8 sessions.
Wow.
Do you have your back tattooed?
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. A lot of it.
Not fun.
Yeah.
Not a fun experience.
I have a lot of the line work done and I've never gone back to half colored because...
So, not me. So
basically, you're tougher than he is. Just, I want to get that out there. You're tougher than he is. So,
yeah.
I mean, us women can't tolerate pain pretty much.
There's no doubting that women have a higher pain.
Nobody is going to question that.
Yeah. I'm not trying to wait till you're 50 and then go get a tattoo and tell me how much.
That's the thing. Everyone's like, please get your tattoos done now because as you get older, it sucks more.
It does.
And so we did 8 sessions of my back in 3 months.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
I think it was 4 months. We started in December and I think we finished in April and it was like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Wow.
Every other week was just excruciating pain. Just, all right, 30 milligrams of CBD. Let's fucking do this.
Nice.
CBD. Come on.
Oh, I was high too.
I was going to say, I'd have to smoke a couple joints. Before.
But I took 2 edibles of like 10 milligram CDs and then I smoked a joint and then took a gummy. Like I was fucking like, yeah. I don't like the numbing cream because they have numbing cream now. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It makes my skin feel weird. It makes me kind of nauseous because when you get your tattoos, you already know how it feels. And then suddenly you don't. And you're like, I don't know how to react to this. Like, so I was like, fuck it. Just do a bunch of fucking meth. I just did a bunch of meth and then I laid down. But they healed beautifully. The back healed great. Every other part of my body, not so much.
Oh, really?
Your back looks amazing. It really
Thank
does.
You.
It really
That's
does.
That's why I post so much of it.
Yeah.
Wait
As you
till
should.
I finish my other thigh, then everyone, no one will be able to escape Lisa's butt.
Oh. Hurry up.
And it was when we were in California that we were hammered and made a bet and we went to a tattoo place and I'm like, they'll never remember that. I was like, they're never going to do this. They're not supposed to tattoo us when we're drunk. So we walk and we're hammered and he's like, yep, sit down. And I was sat through that and I'm like, I'm never going to get another one sober again. And I haven't.
I got this done in Florida by my friend. This is a 1-day, 8-hour session. And I was drunk the whole time.
Oh,
because we kept like taking shots and drinking White Claws. And I was like, it's 1 a.m. I got to stop drinking as you finish this. And he was like, I should have never let you drink. I was like, Yeah, it was fine.
He's gone through like two cases of paper towels because you're bleeding everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much bled, but you know what? It looks fine, so that's all that matters.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right.
No, I do minor. Hate having this open space, though. I gotta get this filled. But there's an artist I want to work with specifically who lives in Japan. He did these ones. And see how beautiful these healed?
You got Japan. Those, you wow. got this done in Japan?
Yeah, because my body does not handle color well, but for I don't know what it is. It's those Japanese hands, man. It's that magic touch that these healed beautifully. And I showed up. This one I got done. I had just pulled an all-night bender in Vietnam, went to bed at 5 a.m., caught a flight at 9 a.m., landed in Japan at noon, and had my appointment at 2 p.m.
Wow.
And then we did 8 hours of this.
Oh, Jesus.
It was awful. And then it healed beautifully because I don't know, something about Japan just being better at everything.
Yeah. Right, right.
Do they have a different method?
I got, huh?
Do they have a different method over there? What's the one where they actually...
Oh, the tapping.
You, tapping.
I didn't get a traditional one. I want okay. to. And then I watched yeah. videos of doing it. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be chiseled.
Right.
That's essentially what you're getting done, right?
And I only know about that from David Lee Roth, who had his whole chest like tapped. Yeah.
Also, I feel like that takes so long.
Yeah.
I bet. No, I'm not. Yeah, I don't want to be there any longer than I have to be.
So if that was 8 hours, I have no idea how long a tapping would take.
Forever.
Probably like forever. 15.
You'd still be there yeah. and we couldn't talk to you right now.
I can do about 8 hours before I tap out, but really that's because after like 6 hours I just submit to what's going on and hope they get done soon.
Look, I'm gonna say I'm 60% tattooed. I have never lasted longer than like 3 hours. So good on you yeah. for being able to yeah. go 8 hours. That's insane.
I think with that and like me playing games where I die a lot, I think I just like want to always be miserable. I think that's just the goal in life is like, right? Might as well just accept misery. One day I'll have a good day, you know?
So is that what drew you to Misery with Mandy?
Well, what's funny is so Mandy and I met at a women's comedy brunch. Which I always think is adorable because, you know, men in comedy are not having brunches. Like, no. They're not getting together and cooking amazing food and having mimosas. I don't even think they hang out. I think they just all hate each other. But here, the
That's
women.
Possible, yeah.
All the women comedians here are beautiful and hilarious. And now I know why I get so angry when people praise, like, really shitty male comedians. I'm like, there are so many hot babes in comedy that are hilarious. Mandy's hilarious. And I did her podcast because she reached out to me and she goes, I've never had, like, a gamer on my podcast. I'm like, that's... because we don't leave the house, but I will for you. And we just bonded immediately. And I think she reached out to me and was like, would you want to start a podcast with me? Because I think you and I have a really good dynamic. And
you did. That first episode with you were on hers.
Yeah.
You could tell it. You were like, boom. Are you guys best friends forever?
Well, she's very sweet. Like, she's very easy to talk to, which is so funny because I only knew Mandy from her comedy, and her comedy is really raunchy.
Yeah,
and then you meet her, and I'm like, you are like the sweetest, most vanilla person I've ever met in my life. Like, she's like, I pissed on my boyfriend's bed. Ha ha ha. And I meet her, and she's like, hi, I'm Mandy. And I'm like, why are you? I brought the wrong attitude today. I got like, so funny.
She's awesome.
My comedy is relatively clean, but I'm the gross one. She's gross comedy, but a clean person. It's very funny, but wait, she's wonderful.
Your comedy is not necessarily. Oh, I heard you talking about Bukkake on stage.
That's art. That's just art. That's just beautiful
that's
art.
That's just pretty art. I will say my comedy used to be a lot cleaner, and it got dirtier over time because my parents stopped coming to my comedy shows. But my mom did come to that show of that clip that I posted, and she texts me, what is Bukkake? I was like, you clearly you didn't listen to the bit. And my dad was like, don't worry about it, Yvonne, don't worry about it, like yelling at her in the background. She goes, I just want to know what it is.
Yeah. Oh,
has she found out yet?
So everybody,
well, my dad did the whole I'll show you. I'm like, dad, no, I don't. I gotta go.
Attaboy, dad.
Way to, yeah, thank you, dad, but So go check out her clip on Bukkake. That's hilarious.
Right? When they come to my comedy shows, though, my mom's like, are you going to talk about me in one of your skits? And I'm like, yes. I talk about you a lot on stage. And every time I do, you can hear her like audibly gasp in the background. Like, But you guys are hilarious. You guys are big. You guys raised me to be this way. You should be proud.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm using my childhood trauma into funny, and you guys get to witness all of it. It's great.
Has she ever said, "Oh, you can never say that again"?
No.
Okay.
Because she knows better. But sometimes she'll tell me a story. Because my parents smoke a lot of weed.
And oh, I'll do weed. Well, they're gamers, right?
I'll do weed with my parents. What the fuck? Who am I? Anyways,
you're your parents now. We do weed.
I'll smoke with my mom, and then she'll tell me a story, and she'd be like, "Do not tell this on stage." Nice. Immediately. I'm like, this, I'm too high to remember, but if I wasn't, I would immediately tell this on stage.
You just gotta be running. You gotta be running an audio recorder all the time when you're high with the parents.
Those little recorders.
I have been trying to write down things from my childhood, and so many, like, that's the stuff people love to hear on stage because it's relatable, because they put their own parents into the situation.
100%.
And then it just made me realize, like, why did I even sat there and asked my mom, I was like, why did you guys have kids? Neither of you were prepared for this. Like, my sister hasn't, I have two nieces now because of my sister, and she just tells me all the time, she goes, "I don't even think mom knows how to change a diaper." It's like, how did she take care of us? Like, she is not someone I trust with my own children. I was like, I don't know. We came out.
You just ran around naked, shitting everywhere. She wasn't worried about changing
my
diapers.
Parents, I will never forget this. When I was like five, my sister was six and I was four. They dropped us off at the airport and made us figure out how to get to our flight to Arizona.
Holy shit.
They were like, "You're going to go visit your grandparents." It just dropped us off the airport. And we had to like walk around and be like, "Can someone help us?" And like a stranger had to help us. And they'd be like, "Are your parents here?" I was like, "No, it's the 90s. They don't give a shit."
Well,
wow. That's a lot has changed since then.
It's a good thing that the stranger you went up to didn't have like a white van with no windows in the parking lot that was
right?
like,
be like, "Yeah, I'll take you your flight. It's at a different airport." Also, wow. You like Tootsie Pops?
Wow. well, bless them. It worked out. Thank goodness.
It did. I know a lot of my uncles when I was a kid were just guys that my dad was buying drugs from. I'm like, "Oh, Uncle Mike." He goes, "Yeah, Uncle Mike. That's his name."
Yep. And then you get older and you're like, "Dad, how many brothers?" "None."
None.
I'm
an only child.
He's not your brother? Oh, no. He just sold us heroin. That's okay. But he had a Nintendo, so that's cool.
There you go. So is it just you and your sister?
Or it do you is, have others? Yeah.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And every time we hang out, I'm like, how did we come out okay? Because now that we're older, we realize how. I love using the term unhinged because I can't think of a better term of finding out how unhinged our parents are now that we're of age and our brains work and we're independent on our own. I'm like, mom and dad are a little, right? Like, I was like, okay, it wasn't just me. All right.
It's a great day when you get to that age when you realize how fucked up your parents were when you were young and you didn't notice it growing up. You're just like, oh, this is what parents are. And you get to an age where you're like, oh my God, what the fuck was wrong with you guys?
It's completely normal to let your 6-year-old daughter babysit your 4-year-old daughter. It's fine. Every Friday.
I don't get it unhinged, but I do get for my children. You just weren't a normal parent, you know.
That's them saying you're unhinged,
okay,
by the way.
All right. I'm trying to help.
I'm trying to help
myself out.
But you know what? I like hanging out with my parents a lot more now, obviously, than I was younger. Because, like, my dad and I have done acid together. We've done shrooms together a few times. Like,
nice.
I had to live back with my parents for a couple months, after the pandemic, because I didn't want to renew my lease. Yeah. And I was living with them, and I was like, I have to move out. Why? I'm like, because you guys are bad influences. I just wake up, and dad just hands me a joint at 8 in the morning, and then my day is ruined. You don't have to go to the gym today. It's fine. Who you are? You're not fucking anyone. You're not working out. It's no reason. I was like, Jesus, Dad. Okay. Dad. What, you really gonna, what you do, bring a boy here? I was like, no, I might go to their place. He goes, no one is dating you. Here, have a joint. I'm like, okay. Thanks, Dad.
I love your mom. Can we get your mom and dad on the podcast?
Right? Oh my God. My mom would love it. My mom is a crazy person. She would love
like,
it.
Fun.
It was the opposite the other weekend when my daughters came over and they were like, "Hey, let's smoke a joint." And I don't normally do it, but I smoked with both my daughters before I went to his wedding.
See, that's adorable. That's how. That's the whole reason why I get along with my parents. Because sometimes they'll send me like weed care packages. You know.
Oh well, they did take half my pot.
Well, now let me further this story. He showed up at my wedding. Hi, he was the guy doing the wedding. So,
did you do good though?
Have you ever been to a wedding where the bride doesn't walk down the aisle last, the groom does? That's how well he did.
Actually, it's just him walking down the aisle last because he forgot.
Well, he did like a 5-minute comedy set before he even had anybody come down the aisle.
That is hilarious. I've never been married, but I think at this point, because like I'm way past the age of like, I want to have a fairy tale wedding, I would just have something where it's like, can you just do like some ayahuasca and then do the whole ceremony? That I just want to see what happens.
This was close. This was close.
We've said it was perfectly imperfect. It went exactly like we wanted it to go. So everything was great. But yeah, they showed up high. As soon as they came walking up the stairs, everybody in the room went, Cheech and Chong here? What the fuck?
I love that.
And I don't even know, because I don't normally smoke.
And so they're all dressed in matching hippie outfits. And it was...
Honestly, that sounds like a dream wedding.
Too many people.
Every time I go to a wedding and it's like in a barn and they're serving the worst food ever, I'm like, why am I, if I don't get laid tonight, I'm not ever doing this again. Like, there better be somebody here for me. Like, the worst one is I saw a Reddit post about a girl who had a wedding, and then the ones who didn't show up, she like charged them an invoice because of the cost it would have come.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I would have broken up with those friends immediately. I'm like, wow. No, I don't owe you anything for your romance. Okay.
No.
Wow. That's never heard crazy. Of that, but that's crazy.
Well, that's the world we live in now. There you go.
Spoiled little entitled brats.
Right. There is no.
So how did.
Perfect weddings are overrated.
Yeah, they are. So you're on Misery Loves Mandy, and you guys decide who comes to who first about doing Weirdly Obsessed.
She came to me.
Okay.
She was just like fascinated by me, which I think is funny. It's like I'm a zoo animal, you know. She's such a fascinating person. No, she came to me and she asked if I want to do a podcast. And I said, well, this is an idea I really want to do. And we haven't been able to do this yet, but this is what the goal is like, I want to have guests on there that are like comedians, whatever, and just talk about a weird thing that they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with comedy. Like someone who's obsessed with trains and like bird watching.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like where we're going with. And honestly, I love it because I normally, and also I will say, I love doing this one too, because normally I always do podcasts where I have to talk about like video games, not how you, but like being like, what are you playing right now? And like, what do you think of this character? And we should do a tier list of villains and blah, blah. And it's like, I like talking about things that aren't exclusively that, because I need people to know I have other personalities.
Yeah.
So it is nice to have something that isn't that. And it's great. It's just, you know, I haven't had a podcast since 2020. And I forgot, you guys know it's a lot of work.
Can be. Yeah. But you understand we're not asking about the characters because we have no idea of any of the fucking characters that you're
exactly with. And yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah, we know video games from
explains
like the 10,000
why
footage.
You guys are married and have children. It's like, oh, it's because you lived your lives, you've left the house.
Have you
nice.
Ever heard of the video game Tecmo Bowl?
No.
She's too young.
No,
she's too young for Tecmo Bowl.
I'm like, I don't remember what system it was on, but that's the only fucking video
What's
game I ever
funny
played.
Funny is, anytime I talk to someone who's not a gamer, they always be like, "I played this one game, and it's the most obscure thing I've ever heard of in my life." It's like football. You didn't play Zelda or Mario. It's just like some random game that no one played.
No, this was big. Tecmo Bowl was big.
Tecmo Bowl was big, but it was for the jocks. It was a football game.
Wow, that's almost incredibly. That's actually really nerdy.
Yeah, it was before. Madden took off, and they were little guys with a big head, but there was a first game that they put like
Funkos.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was the first football game that they actually like put the players' names to it. So it was all everything prior was just, you know, Johnson is running the ball, but now it was like actually.
You see a sports game now and it looks like a real sporting event.
Right. Yeah.
It's terrifying. I don't like it.
No clue.
We want to ask, what are your Funko Pops? Like, who do you have right here? Because I can't see what they are specifically because they all look terrifying.
So don't look directly into their eyes, their soul.
Soul stealers.
But this is Alfred Hitchcock, Norman Bates, John Wick, Marilyn Monroe, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the girl that took her bikini top off, forget her name, Bill Murray and Caddyshack, Michael Myers, and John McClane.
I love how her name is on it, and you're like, I forgot her name.
I do. I just jacked off to it. I didn't really care about her name.
To the Funko Pop?
Well, don't.
Yes, to the Funko Pop version, actually, not the movie.
Let's see.
Linda Barrett?
Linda Barrett.
And they all look terrifying.
She doesn't. She's hot.
I will say, though, you have good ones. Like, I feel like the Alfred Hitchcock ones, like, it's like stuff that's like not just Marvel and Disney shit.
I don't have any of those.
I'm okay with that.
Like, but over there, I have every Michael Jordan Funko Pop.
I didn't even know they made more than one. I didn't even know they made a Michael Jordan one.
They made one of his college. They made one of his all. I'm ridiculous. They made a big one. I'm not one
to talk. I literally have a 30-inch statue of a video game character that I had imported from Japan and was not cheap. So I should not be the one to ever judge someone's collection.
Did you write
this
it
man
off?
This man is next to my bed. You imagine if I had someone over here and hooked up with him? Like, sorry, Virgil stays next to the bed while we make love. Okay.
While we make love.
He must watch over us and assume that we will be protected.
If he's protecting you, yeah.
I also have two swords next to my bed, you know, to terrify anyone who comes over, too. Nice.
Yeah, that's what the swords are scarier than the statue.
I mean, I do want to get into the statues because that's a different. I mean, they're really.
I also cool. Build Gundam. That's what? Another thing I do that isn't gaming.
I have no idea what you just said right there.
You made that.
Yeah. So like, you know, like Lego kits.
Okay.
So Gunpla are basically I think they're cooler because they're cheaper and they don't look like they're made by Legos. They look like figurines. So you just like cut the little pieces together and put them together.
Oh.
I have a bunch of them.
What is that called again?
Them on stream. They're called Gunpla.
Gunpla.
Okay. Gundam.
They're very you know, you don't have to know anything about them. I just bought them because I thought they were dope looking. Like I made this one. This was.
Did
a
you say they're
one.
Gundam style? Is that the song from? What's his name?
Gundam is a giant Japanese robot. So I made this one, which is so dorky. But it's like I will stream myself making them and I'll have like some like music on the background. It's kind of like Bob Ross for nerds. That's how I put it.
Nice.
But it is nice. And so it's like that's my other hobby where I don't look at a screen the whole time.
I think Bob Ross was Bob Ross for nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I read the history of Bob Ross about how he was like in the military and shit. I'm like, that makes sense why he's so calm.
Yeah.
That man's gone through some shit. He probably had his boobs done too and had a new, you know,
possibly.
Life.
And he had swords underneath his bed that he could stab you if you didn't perform for him.
He had two swords actually, you know. He probably painted them himself too.
I gotta know, are you sexually attracted to any of these anime characters?
Oh, absolutely. Why do you think they're tattooed on me? Because they're all right.
That's your masturbation hand?
Every night before I go to bed. This is my husband. I started playing, you know, that's the hard thing about streaming is I'll be playing a game and be like, do I tell the chat that I'm horny right now? About Snake from Metal Gear Solid. I'm sorry. Like, somebody tells me that's weird, but I'm like, I'm sorry. They created them hot. They create them out of their imagination. Obviously, they're attractive,
right.
Okay? Nobody creates an ugly character.
Well,
if you could draw,
right?
If you could draw, like, any character, like a woman, if you could draw a beautiful woman, you'd make the most beautiful woman ever. Yes, it'd be weird for you not to be attracted to them. So, yes, I am very much attracted to Virgil from Devil May Cry 5. It's fine.
All right.
All these characters tattooed on me are all former crushes, really.
This is my love life.
Yeah, right.
It really is. My early 20s. This is now my 30s. And the back is going to be my...
It's also like way less weird than because the internet, we didn't have the internet like they had it now. Like when I was like in junior high, you know, we remembered AOL dial-up internet and shit, right? I was obsessed with Blink-182. That was my whole childhood from when I was 8 to when I was like 25. I loved Blink-182. And I'm so happy I didn't have the internet back then because I would have said some weird shit about them online like people do now. You see the way people talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? they like want to put themselves in a relationship. Like, I want to see a sex tape. I'm like, that's fucking weird. But no, I'm weird because I want to fuck a video game character. He doesn't know that I want it. He doesn't care. He doesn't need consent to this. I'm not ruining his day. He is a made up thing. Okay. I talk and about he, this and, a lot, clearly.
And if he comes into my room and takes over, that's your own thing.
You know what, though? There is a game. I talk about the Yakuza games. There's a new one out, and they have a bunch of mini games in them. One of them they have is a dating app mini game.
What?
In the game, you can have a dating app, and you can try to get dates. And used to be like 3D or just used to be cartoon characters, but now they use real models, like real porn stars, real like OnlyFans girls. And yeah, and in the game, you can like have your character date them. And I'm like, well, now this is weird. Like, I was okay with it being like 2D hot women, but now that I know that these are real people, it's like, can I be in the game?
I think
what can I do to get on a date with this video game character?
I think eventually you're going to be able to create yourself and get into games.
Oh my God. I go to conventions a lot, like anime video game conventions. And I remember I was at one and this scarred me. So I was at one and there was like this area that was blacked off because it was 18 plus. And I was like, I'll see what's in there. Right.
There's absolutely. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, I went to a convention in Japan called Comic-Con. And I did not know what it was. And
I don't either, so tell me.
Yeah, my friend told me it's a comic book convention for independent artists. I'm like, that's awesome because I love these characters. Maybe I could find some like fan fiction. It's a porn convention for these characters. It's like erotic fan fiction, and it's the largest one in the world. And I walked in, there's a whole 5 floors of women standing there, like these tiny little cute Japanese girls with like their very grotesque gay porn they made off characters. And I bought some. I didn't give a shit. I was like, whatever. Support small businesses.
Hell yes.
Support small businesses.
Hell yes.
And I was like, and they don't even care because it's like, it's legal for them to do that because it's parody, which I think is hilarious. But like, yeah, like, fuck it, whatever. They're not real people you're portraying. That'd be weird if someone drew fan fiction of celebrities. No, these are cartoon characters. Who gives a shit? The world is your oyster, you know?
Absolutely.
The best part is that they put in a black bag because Japan's very weird about like, you know, like buying porn, they put it in a black bag so people don't see what it is. And since they were magazines, I didn't want to ruin them. So I was in the airport and I was getting on a flight. And when I went through security, the guy took them out of the bag because he wanted to see what was in there. And then it was me like, oh, Hogumenasai, like put it back in the bag. I was like, thank you for just busting out my cartoon porn in front of everyone. It's fine. It's cool. I'm fine, you know.
Hey, Jesus. You're never going to see those people again. It's fine.
But
for the whole flight, everybody's looking at her.
Well, that wasn't that bad because it was all these women that just draw erotic fan art, harmless, right? When I went to this anime convention, though, they had this whole area that was blacked off. And I was like, I have to see what's in here. Like, I thought it'd be the same thing. What I saw was VR porn. I don't know if you guys have heard
what's
of VR.
What's
so
VR?
You know,
no.
VR, like.
We're dorks the other way, so you got to explain all that.
I know
so
what VR porn is, boomer.
He's like, I own it. So here's the thing. So like VR gaming where you wear the glasses and you're like in your living room, you got your little wands, right?
Virtual.
What they had there was VR porn where you could like fuck somebody. But what the worst thing was is because this was a convention, they had a plastic doll mounted on a stand, like a mannequin, and guys were like dry humping it to test out the porn. Men were standing in line to do this in front of thousands of people. And I was like, I was just, that was not something I wanted to see, mainly because the guys were all gross. Like, I was like, none of you should be doing this. Because
they never
anyone.
Leave the house.
And also, none of them had like good flow. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just kind of like stiffly, like, it was like, you guys need to practice. Like, you shouldn't be doing this in person. But also, that poor doll. I'm like, this is the first time in my life that I felt like bad for an inanimate object. I was like, this plastic doll did not consent to this. They're not really having sex with it, but they're standing there fully clothed at a convention, just like, let me just test this out. And I was like, oh my, imagine. And the poor people working at the booth just like, next, next. I was like, oh my God. And they still have them. They still have them at anime conventions. In fact, I'm going to a convention next month called SumiCon. It's an 18 plus anime convention because I'm doing comedy there, and I can just imagine myself seeing that again.
Please post. Please post as much as you can. Oh my
God. Yeah, I want to see this. Be like, so this is what I get paid to do in comedy. I've made it. Here you go.
Dry humping a doll.
I want to go to one of these. I have no idea. I don't know.
Would you get in line? Would you get in line?
I think I'd save my VR porn for home.
Okay.
You're walking around all day. You got to save your energy. You know?
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
You would think they would have individual booths to test out the VR porn.
I don't think they have time for that.
Nope. Just one sweaty Cheeto crusted finger line. Just a bunch of mom basement dwellers just standing in. You know, these are the same guys that go on Reddit every day and be like, I hate women, blah, blah, blah. Real women suck. Fake women? Ugh. Though I am getting to that point in my single life where I'm
just mold it after I want and buy it, deliver it to my house so I can violate it over and over again.
I will say, as bad as that sound, I am getting to that point in being single right now where I'm like, you know what? These cartoon men have yet to break my heart. So
that's true.
That's true. Never. There you go.
Where do you go from there? Well, yeah, you pay for one to be created.
I don't know if I want to peg any of them on VR, but you know, I might just keep buying the statues. That's where I'm at.
All right.
So how many? I don't want to transition away from the porn because this is hilarious and I love talking about it.
You really, there's just so much you can say about cartoon porn before you run out of things to say, you know?
Yeah, no, I you see a lot of the AI now porn, and I don't understand it, but it's just the next step from all of that.
Yeah, and you know what? Have fun. You know, buy your weird $1,000 AI sex robot. You know, one day though, that robot's gonna be mad at you and it's gonna break your dick off. Like, that's what there's gonna be a turning point in AI where they turn against us, and I don't wanna be the one owning a sex doll. That thing will kill me immediately. Like, yeah. I at least would be like, you know, I at least want things that don't have a brain. Like, this AI stuff is getting too scary. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna own anything that might be able to pick up a weapon. I'm sorry.
So you want a dumb one. I'm with you.
There's no boundaries conversation.
You want a dumb one.
You what I think you need is like a life-size Pop Funko is what you're
then its eyes will stare directly into my soul. And I'll get sucked into it. And then I'll have to it'll be like a Black Mirror episode where my personality goes into the Funko Pop.
There you go. There you go.
So there are times, and I like to do this to my daughters, if we ever see figures of like Black Widow or the Catwoman or something like that, you know, they'll show them like, yeah, that's the real lifelike. I'm like, when they come up with a lifelike one, I'll buy it. And they just
and that thing will murder you immediately. And I'm just kidding.
I just walk away. They're like, oh damn.
I remember my size Barbie when I was a kid. That thing scared the shit out of me. So
life size Barbie?
Yeah, they had the life size dolls when we were kids. Do you remember those? Come on, you're a dad. They had life-size Barbie when you were a kid. It wasn't hot. It wasn't a hot Barbie. It's not like you had life-size Margot Robbie in your apartment.
They weren't 6 feet tall, though. They were like...
No, they were like 3 feet tall.
Yeah, they were like toddler-sized. Like
they looked like those creepy toddlers and Tierra girls.
That I remember. I'm talking real life-size. And yes, I want a Margot. I would buy a Margot Robbie life-size
Barbie.
My dad
was very lucky he had a tomboy growing up because all I wanted was like Legos and video games. He's like, fucking great. Barbies are dumb. And I was like, perfect. Now I'm like, well, now I want a Barbie.
Oh,
I just want
Margot
Robbie in my apartment. That's all.
I think we all can agree on that one. Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling. It'd be great. Just both of them.
We all can agree on that one, too.
I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
If I got to take one on both, I'll take them. How many figures, they're not, do you have?
Thank you for calling them figures and not toys. I really appreciate that.
I'm with it.
People are like, how are your toys? I'm like, fuck you. Okay.
Yes,
toys are hidden. These are my figures. Okay. When I went to Japan in 2018, or I think it was 2019, I was there for 9 weeks and had to buy a separate suitcase for everything that I bought. Yeah.
Holy shit.
9 weeks.
I was there. That's crazy. The beginning of October until the day before Thanksgiving. So yeah, about 7 or 8 weeks actually.
Wow.
Well, good for you. That you got to see a lot. That's crazy. That's a whole.
Yep, I was Japanned out.
Episode there. Okay. Porn.
Remember, I told you that. I had to buy a separate suitcase because so many
for all the
things
porn?
I like, you can only get in Japan. And I was like, to get the ship would be like $40. I might as well just buy it here and just buy like a cheap suitcase. And so I bought way too many. And like, this isn't even all of them. I have more downstairs. I have two boxes in my closet full of them. I just, you know, once you start, at my old apartment, I had an apartment like that was two bedrooms. I had my bedroom where mm-hmm. I could live as a 34-year-old woman. And then I had my office where I could live like a child. And now it's like both in a room. And I'm like, now it's all in one room. I can really see how much of a problem I have. I was like, look, this looks like a 15-year-old boy's wet dream. This does not look it like a 34-year-old woman's. Like, I need to have like a divider here of being like, this is just my office, I swear. So I have a lot still in boxes. I have to put them on shelves somewhere. I have a lot of art too, like hanging up everywhere. There's no limit. Like the one that's up here before I lost my job, I bought it. That was like a $600 one. I think this one was about $800. There's a studio in Japan called Prime One Studio. Do not look it up. It will ruin your life. They make lifelike figurines, like statues, and they're, but unfortunately I'm like, I gotta get a job, you know, not to buy a house or anything, but to buy more figurines, really. Right, just buy right. more statues. And now I have a rule for myself. I was like, I won't buy one unless they are like a really, really nice one.
Yeah.
Because like Funko Pops, as you can tell, you can get like 300 of them because there's too many of them now. Right. I can't do that. I've done that with other figurines and I'm like, nope, now I will only get them if it's like a special, like only 500 release type thing.
Yeah. Right. Yep. I'm like with you.
This statue, I think, was only 250 were made. That statue, I think only 600 were made. So it's like, that's now, that's where I invest my money into now.
And they do increase. You know, I say that because my older brother, his whole apartment is worse than mine in a different way. Kind of the same, but different. But he has figurines. But he's all superheroes. So he has Batman, like 12 different Batman figures that are statues. And all those kind of things. And he has a storage unit because of figures that he has bought, limited edition stuff. And we've been talking, and he's a single man. He's older than me. And it's like,
wow, shock.
Let's talk about your will. And he's just like, yeah, it's going all my, like, to my children. He's like, just nieces and nephew, give it all to them. Because he's not having kids now.
Right?
My nieces and nephews. Yeah.
My nieces are really going to love inheriting all my anime porn.
You've got time, though. Oh, well, yeah. Hopefully he gets rid of his porn before he dies, but that's a different story.
I'm going to buy more because I'm just going to increasingly not have kids for the rest of my life.
Increasingly
so
I'll
just have a whole collection of, look at Auntie's comic books. Oh, these are not comics. who wants these? Does anyone want to bid off them? No, like, yeah, they're going to get all this and my nieces better turn to nerds. That's all I got to say, because they're going to have a lot of shit to go through.
It sounds like they don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice.
Nerd up.
Yeah. I have to be careful about who I date. One day I'm going to date someone who wants this stuff and they're going to try to kill me and steal it.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't allow anyone in this room, just my cats. That's it.
So is that your dating app? Gotta love cats and you gotta love anime?
No, I actually avoid the anime topic entirely because I want to date someone who knows how to have sex. So I just say, don't ignore all my tattoos. I promise I'm hot. The boobs are great.
Be a lead with the boobs. Perfect.
If I bring up anime, like, oh my god, what's your favorite anime? I'm like, we're never hooking up.
Shit, I'm sorry, I'm
a hypocrite now. Okay. In fact, if you like anime, I'm not attracted to you. I need you to like sports. I need you like leaving the house. That's it. No.
To force me to do that.
No, my dating app profile is very, like, I have nothing about comedy in there because, again, I don't want people seeing my Instagram before they see me or seeing my socials, but almost every single date I've been on, they're like, your comedy clips popped up on my algorithm. I'm like, fuck you, Instagram, okay?
Right. Yep.
Dating apps should not feed into the algorithm of who you see online. But now
That's
they're going to know
true.
all my jokes. And so it's a little discouraging. But yeah, normally it's like I don't really date people who play video games and anime because they're not usually the ones on dating apps trying to like go out for drinks.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're busy. They
and usually what happens is if we talk about video games first, the first date is almost immediately always platonic. Like where it's like, so what games are you playing right now? And then like the whole like mysterious sexiness of me is just turned into like, well, I really like Final Fantasy 16 and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this was a great date. I'm like, this was a date. I felt like I was hanging out with my cousins. Hanging out with my stream.
Little peck on the cheek and off he goes home.
Right, yeah. Right. Can you add me? We can like play games online together. I'm like, you don't want to see me naked? Okay, fine. We'll just play online together. That's fine. I had a guy recently. Oh my God.
Yes. Yes.
When are we ever going to end this podcast? I had a guy recently. There's a video game called Elden Ring. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite games of all time. And we were seeing each other for like a few weeks. And I told him like, you should download the game. It's so good. He downloaded it and then ghosted me because he got so into the game. And this is why I don't date gamers. He would really message me after like 4 days and be like, oh, hey, I'm like so sorry. We haven't talked. I'm like super sucked into this game. It's like, buddy, we slept together. Like we slept together. And then the minute we were done, you went to go play your game. Okay. Like this is why. And we haven't talked since. Like it's like Ooh. The game took over, and so now no more gamers, none.
The game won.
So what about comedians?
Getting cock blocked by a video game is not an accomplishment I wanted in my 30s. Okay.
No, ouch.
So you just got to date comedians then, right? Is that the?
No. Even worse.
Yeah. Are they worse? Are they worse?
Don't shit where you eat, right? Look, I even woke up my cat when I said that. I said, "Don't." Woke him up immediately. No, I don't know. LA is very interesting because everyone here does something, but no one has a job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, nobody works. Everyone just has the whole day available, and it blows my mind. But it's very funny being here because people care about your status so much. They really do. They're like, oh, you're really famous on Instagram. Like, I don't have money. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, having a big following is great, but it's like, buddy, this doesn't translate into the way you think it is. Like, I'm not right. going to introduce you to celebrities.
Yeah.
No, they just like my shit and add me. They never meet them. I never hang out with them. It is weird. LA is wildly different than Seattle. Seattle was tough to date because everyone worked for Amazon. It was like, oh, I get it. You work for Microsoft. Oh, you work for Amazon. Cool. You guys are all boring. In LA, at least everyone does like cool shit. Or if they don't do cool shit, they like grew up here and they know about cool shit. Yeah. Like I went to this jazz club the other day called Baked Potato. And it's
nice.
Like world famous. And I never heard of it because it's like a very LA local thing. It's not very like a touristy thing. And it's a jazz club that sells baked potatoes that are like this big. And it was unbelievable.
That's
it was
awesome.
I was listening to jazz music and eating a baked potato the size of my head. And I was like, see, this is why LA's dope. Because you can go to do dope shit like this.
Right.
I would love that.
People are so jaded here. Like I go on dates with guys who'd be like, ugh, you drove 40 minutes to come to me. Ugh, gross. I'm like, fuck you. Okay. Everyone's just really jaded. Like, ugh, you're that loving to live here. That's going to die off quickly. I'm like, well, it's not now. So you should just let me enjoy my time here. It's like, God, who hurt you? Go fuck a VR robot. I'm sorry. Half the time, like, why are you even dating? You don't even seem happy. Like, why are you on this app?
Somebody's upset that you drove 40 minutes to see them? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he was like, you live so far. I'm like, I drove here, so why are you complaining?
Right. Well, I think LA men are weird. I don't even know how to explain LA men, but good luck. Good luck.
Right? It's just, I think post-pandemic just made a lot of people weird.
Well, everywhere, like, but I think LA was weird prior.
Not enough of you got breast implants during the pandemic. Trust me, if any of you people got your boobs done, you'd be instantly happier. But nope, none of you did. So I guess I'm the only one. I guess the only one with a new look in life.
Well, my breasts got bigger. They weren't implanted. It was just from drinking a lot. But that's a different story.
Yeah, that
I
works
heard the
too.
More Funko Pops you own, the bigger you get as a person. So
I'm selling them all.
I would too.
Selling them all. I got to get rid of them.
I would too.
See, the problem is, I would but then I want to get into your comedy and then we'll let you go. Is I'd get some cool ones that I like. You know, I love Alfred Hitchcock and that. And all of a sudden people would say, oh, you have a pump. So then they'd give me gifts. So I got a whole bunch of them that were given to me. He gave me them. I'm like, I don't want them. I don't just want to collect them. I just want the ones I want and be done with it.
Wait,
be like me and sell shit online.
I gave him one because I know he has the same OCD issue. And as soon as he had one, I knew what was going to happen. And I wanted to start it.
Yeah, you're evil.
Like, let's just light the match and see what happens.
That happened when someone bought me a Gundam kit. Now I build Gundam and I hate myself. Yeah. So
my son said the same thing. We're out and I bought a movie and I was like, I love this movie. It's one. Well, it's a trilogy. The other two suck. But I got to buy the rest to have the whole complete set. And he's like, I'm going to start buying you like two of a movie. And then now you have to buy one and three. You know, he's like, I'm just going to start buying you that. And I'm like, you fucker, I don't need that in my life.
See, it's the same with me. I bought one cat. I had to get another. I'm going to have like 10 cats one day. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. So let's talk comedy because we haven't barely even talked comedy. And
because we're laughing too hard.
You, you've been doing comedy for about 10 years, huh?
Yep. Off and on.
Started in Seattle.
I say 10 years so that I have some longevity, but really it's like, if we count all the breaks that I've taken, I've probably only been doing it for 7.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll go with 10.
What is the scene in Seattle like?
It's kind of sad because there used to be like a big comedy club called Comedy Underground. And that was like, Mitch Hedberg started there. Like, it was like a big and it got shut down because gentrification took over the whole city and like nothing could survive. But I think it's making a comeback now. But the big thing is, like, I had never lived in LA until now, and I didn't realize how LA works. Is like cities like Seattle, basically every city, like Seattle, Austin, Dallas, Nashville, most comedy clubs have like a headliner, a feature, and a host because their communities are smaller. So before I left Seattle, I was featuring and headlining, which means that I was doing like at least 20 to 30, 40 minute sets. And then I moved here. And since there's so many comedians in LA, you only get like 8 minutes on stage, maybe 10 minutes. And so you have to travel a lot for comedy. So I think this is where people go to start their touring journey. Sure. Because in Seattle, I didn't really have to leave. I was going up every single week. Mm. And I had been there for so long, I could just get a spot whenever I wanted. And I do miss it a lot. I love living here. It's great, like, seeing so many different types of comedians and seeing the chuckle fuckers and all the great, like, you'll do a comedy show and just randomly, like, some big celebrity will walk in and want to do a set. It's pretty awesome. But Seattle was getting better right before I left because it took like a really dark turn after we lost Comedy Underground. There was so much drama. And now that thankfully, TikTok, as I will never say this again, kind of saved stand-up comedy in the sense where people actually want to go to shows now. That now I think comedy is getting another boom.
Hell yeah.
Being in LA is very odd, though, because it's wildly different culture than I'm used to.
Yeah.
And a lot of the comedy of LA went to Texas.
Went to Texas, went to basically, like, that's probably going to end up being, if I don't get bigger in the video game industry or community, most people, unless they want to do acting, they end up moving out of LA.
Like
I did my few years there, I made my name, met my people, and now I'm ready to not spend $2,000 a month on a studio apartment.
Half of them went to Austin or Nashville. Seems like that, got a bunch of them too,
where it's growing. But no.
Yep, I'm traveling this year for comedy. I have Dallas lined up. Okay. Boise, nice. San Diego,
and you're going back, Arizona, to Seattle.
Seattle, yes, because I can make real money there. I went to Seattle in December, and I was like, I made more money on this one show than I have in the 6 months of living in California. It must be nice.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everyone's like, here's your, in California, it's like, oh, you have 10 minutes? Well, here's your 2 drink tickets. Now go fetch. Like, and they just throw them at you, and they'd be like, you should be honored to be on this shitty dive bar on a Wednesday. You should be honored to be sharing this stage where Marc Maron threw up 3 years ago. You should be happy to be here. Like, that's just how LA is.
Yeah. I want to take the trip. I want to come out for a long weekend or something.
Where
and just
are
hit
you
the
located?
We're in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. But there's some good comedy in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Comedy on
Madison.
Comedy on State. Madison seems to
I've
be.
I've gotten some Madison replies about traveling. I was like, that's definitely a place I would have to consider way later. But once you get way bigger in comedy, it's easier to do shows like that because, yeah, like the pool is bigger.
Yeah.
Because it's
Milwaukee's
like,
got a club and we here in Appleton still have the skyline. It's still going.
Yeah. I'm still getting adjusted to living in California. My entire life is different because I'm trying, like tonight I'm going to go do a mic.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm going to go to a show. Wednesday I'm going to go to a show. And because of that, people on my stream will be like, well, what animes are you watching lately? What games are you playing? I was like, oh, I leave the house now. I'm sorry, guys. I have a life.
I have a double life. You're
not like you guys. Like I enjoy my life now. I go out.
I have a boobs to show off.
Right. Yeah.
I paid too much. They're not depreciating, guys. I gotta, you know, I really gotta get these shows. Okay, is what I'm saying.
Where can we find all your shows if we wanted to go see you?
Upcoming. I post them all on my link tree, which is on all my socials in my bio. I post my headlining gigs I do. I also update my schedule every week on my stories and Twitter and all that. I'm just too online all the time.
Good.
I will post my updated schedule on Instagram usually every single week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I just saw your schedule for this week.
Stuff, all my travel gigs, I'll post in my link tree because there's so many of them usually.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to just put them all in one post.
Sure.
This year is very slow so far, but I got a lot coming up. So
good.
Well, that's January and February go... usually suck for comedy.
Sure.
But you got stuff coming up, and you got your podcast. So weirdly obsessed is a check it out because it's fun to watch. You
it's
do these
very
talk.
Silly. It's unhinged.
And I can't wait for where it's gonna go. I think I mean the few episodes that you have is about six right now. So
yep.
But if you have guests on here and your subject matter is going to grow, I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. This is also really fun to do, too, because Mandy, I asked about this podcast. I get asked to do so many random podcasts where I'm like, and sometimes I'll look them up. I'm like, you have two episodes. And they'd be like, yeah, but you should do my podcast. I'm like, no.
Well, we
what are we
really
talk about?
We really appreciate
this is
it.
Great.
Yeah, we love talking comedy. I also
don't really have a filter. So some people get weird on their podcast from like she is inappropriate.
No.
We welcome that.
Yeah. Yeah. We booked our first official porn star coming up soon. So we're all about it. So
we made it now.
You made it. You did it.
Yeah, there's no inappropriate around here.
We just love everything. We just love meeting people that we would never before. So
have you guys done live shows before?
No,
we have not.
Oh,
yeah.
You should at some point.
Yeah.
Live shows are great.
Yeah.
I've
seen more live podcasts than I have actually listened to podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, because everyone wants to perform basically when you live here.
Sure.
I've seen a couple live podcasts here in Seattle. I saw a couple live podcasts. I was on a live podcast for my friend's old. He had a whole horror movie podcast years ago. It's fun to do. People love watching people goof off live.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why anyone can be a comedian now.
Yeah. No, they can't. No, they can't. Really
what do
can.
You do for work?
No. We've had to make it clear a few times. We are not comedians.
We are not.
We don't consider ourselves comedians. We are not.
That's why
you guys
want...
are goofs. That's better than being a comedian.
Yes, we are just goofballs.
Let's have the professionals on and let them do their thing.
Goof off.
Yeah, better.
Well, now you're going to look up VR porn because of me. You're like, what is hentai? What is comic hit? How do I go?
We're going.
I mean, we're just booking tickets after.
If they weren't in my closet, I would bust out the shit that I bought because it was very funny.
Next time. Save it for next time.
Next time. I'll save it for next time.
All right. Thank
and next time, I won't have the Pop Funkos out to distract you.
To give me more nightmares. That's
right,
fine.
Right, right.
Yeah, there you go.
So thank you so much. Go hit that mic and have a good time.
Yes, thank you so much. This is awesome.
I appreciate you coming on. One last plug, anybody can find you?
Honestly, Instagram and TikTok is the best, at WISALALEN, and then Twitch, if you watch Twitch, I'm on usually 3 or 4 days a week.
Cool. That's I'm gonna check out this Twitch stream. If I'm going to watch anybody play a video game, I'm going to watch you. I got to see what it's all about.
I'm very unhinged, so you can watch me die a lot and swear at it. So
Perfect.
It'll be great.
That's all right. What I want, too.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
Electricast.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electricast.